Father in heaven, we thank you again for the song service this morning. Thank you for the people who turned aside the things of the world on a beautiful day to be in the house of God. And Lord, one day we'll full on. I know it's been said that for 2,000 years, but you told the church to look for the return of Christ. And Father, one day before long, you're going to come back, or your son is going to come back for his church and introduce his bride to his heavenly Father in heaven. And we're going to have a great time together. But now in this time, it's a time of service. It's time to love you as you loved us. And I pray you'd help us understand ourselves. Lord, I don't think man as a whole understands himself in a physical body like we could and like we can and like many do today compared to years ago. But we can also understand ourselves in the spiritual life because of this precious book. Honor yourself today as we try our best to bring the Word of God here. Yield it to the Spirit of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much. Take your Bible, if you will, and turn with me, first of all, to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. I don't know if about you, but I have found out after many years now, soon 60 years, in the Lord's September coming, that being saved, being a child of God, is not what I thought it would be before I got saved. I don't know if you found that out or not. I found out that the more I try my best to do for God, the more hindrance that Satan tries to bring. The less I do, the less hindrance he does. I'd rather be hindered, though, than to hinder someone, hadn't you? And so I understand as I study the Scriptures that the Bible teaches us some things about a spiritual life, which in turn we begin to learn physically, but it's not on a spiritual level. If I say to you today, there are certain levels in the physical life that every one of us live. And we're at one of those levels now. You go to the nursery and you find that there's babies back there, infants. If you go to the hospital, the ward before a child is born or a mother's carrying a baby, there's a place of being in the womb. And of course, that's a place of develop. Did you know that when conception took place, though, everything was there for everything that was needed the rest of their lives? And so here you have a child not knowing much when they're in a mother's womb, been born as an infant, not knowing much, probably a year to 2 years old. And then we call them a child. And then we begin to call them beginners. And we call them, as we go through life, different things, juniors, you know, intermediates, with teenagers, adolescents, young adults, right? Then you get middle age. Then you get senior citizens, old age. Now, every one of those levels, we learned something for the next level. And I guarantee you, if anybody is still a child or has a child's mind in a senior citizen body, that's a tragedy. Right? And by the way, sometimes that happens. If anyone, and that amazes me when we come through the ranks of life, physically speaking, and God has given us that as an example that we could look at to understand that when he deals with us, he's not dealing with us just religiously. He's dealing with us with facts in the spiritual world that you and I can't see except by faith. We can look at the physical world and see these elements, what I'm saying, but when you look at him and what he's doing, it's by faith. And as there's levels of the physical world in life, as we grow in physical life, there's levels in the spiritual world of spiritual life. And God has laid us that. Maybe not as many. If there is, I don't know what they are. But I do know you, everyone here, that any age can account for the level of life that I just mentioned. And you have to be the infant to be born. You have to be, you know, a beginner to begin to learn. And you keep learning and keep learning. It takes a basic. No one begins to go to school and start on algebra in the first grade. In fact, I didn't like to start on the 10th grade. But I'm saying to you, all of us understand that physically. But I want to tell you something. If you let God apply the spiritual life to our life like he wants to, you'll see there are levels of life. And you think about a physical life. Wherever one may stop at a physical life, they may grow older, but they won't grow academically otherwise like they should unless they study what is necessary to be studied for that time for life. And when one passes a certain thing, a level of life, they may move to the next in age, but if they don't have the level of that life and learn as much as could be learned, it won't be like as they get older like it would be if they took advantage of all the things that took place in the physical life and grew each level of life. I'm glad that I was a baby, but I'm glad today my mind's beyond babyhood or childhood, aren't you? You remember one time Paul said in 1 Corinthians, when I was a child, I spake as a child, but now I speak as a grown man. I've grown up. And so now look with me to Scriptures, if you will, and we see and we pray, Father, I pray you bless your word to heart today. Help us, Father, to see you've not left us ignorant. This book can teach us so much about the spiritual life. We can't see with the physical life. We see it by faith. But, Lord, you gave us an example in physical life to understand there are levels of life, sections of life, age of life that we grow into. And as we grow, the more we develop the age before into the next level, Lord, the better we handle that level. And life is a consistent study of things in life to help us at the things we face. And that helps us understand when I face things later in life, I know God's with me because he's been with me all this time. And you give us assurance of things that's happening we don't even understand. I don't understand why things happen like they do in my life, and we don't, any of us don't. Many times there's things that happen, we ask, Lord, why? But on the other hand, we're glad to know nothing happens that you don't know and you know about, and you've said you never leave us, forsake us. And wherever we're at, Father, you're going to help us through that to get us to the next level until the day we get home on the other side. Thank for that. Bless your word today in our hearts so they want to hear it. And those that don't want to hear it, nothing I can do, Lord. Nothing you can do except give it anyhow. I'll pray you do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The writer of the book of Hebrews said this, of whom in verse 11, and we're looking at verse 5, of whom we have many things to say and hard to utter, seeing you're dull of hearing. Boy, it's hard to understand. He's talking to Christians here, not the world. The world doesn't know anything about this. And sometimes Christians become dull of hearing. But boy, you'd be surprised when people get upset if you even thought they were dull of hearing. Nobody thinks they're dull of hearing. But I tell you, if we're not progressing like we should, somewhere along the line, I myself have been dull of hearing if I didn't progress under the Word of God like I should have. Because if I didn't get what I needed that level to move to the next level, then I become dull of hearing. And that helps me understand studying this book. Then he goes on, he said, For the time you ought to be teachers, you had need of that one teach you again, when the first principle of the oracles of God have become such as need of milk and not of strong meat. There's a time as a child of God you need milk, just like the time when your physical life you needed milk. But it comes a time you get off the milk. If you only drink milk for the time you're born, the time you die, you're not going to have good health. You got to have strong meat. You got to have something that gives protein, other things, physical body. Well, the Bible teaches us there's the milk of God's Word. It's that simplicity of God's Word. I'm going to get into that. But then there comes a time of what's called the meat of God's Word, which helps us grow and take strength. Milk will not probably cause us to stand for Christ in the face of problems, of troubles. Milk may not cause us to give our life for Christ, but strong meat will, and that's what he's telling us here. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. Isn't that amazing? I didn't say that. God said that. And if you use milk and don't get on the meat of God's Word and be able to put it together, you're still a babe. I don't care if you're 100 years old in the Lord. You're a babe unless you get off the milk of the Word. You've got to have that to begin with. But there's greater things, and we'll see some of that today. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and, notice, evil. If you look in Matthew, I'm going to give something quick in verse 11. Chapter 11, he said in verse 28, come unto me, all you that are laboring and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden's light. If I go to the Old Testament Deuteronomy, and I look in chapter 8 and verse 7 down a few verses, and I'm not going to read all this because I read them a few weeks ago, but it's a blessing how God redeemed Israel out of the Egypt. And God told Israel, when you get in that land, listen, don't you do these things, because it's so easy to get satisfied and settle and apply your life in the land you're in rather than represent the land you're from or the land that God represents. And he goes on, and he says down in verse 12, and thou shalt say in thy heart, when you get thy my power and the might of my hand had gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember that the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, he that establishes his covenant. Watch. Notice again that he may establish his covenant. God said, son, I'll give you the power to get wealth, but it'd be to establish my covenant first, and you'll be blessed if you do what I do. He said in the Old Testament. And he goes on and he said, he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto the fathers of as of this day. Now look quick at me if you will. I've got to give you these because he's referenced in Psalm chapter 23, David speaks. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. We know it. My heart, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pasture, leads me by still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow, it amazes me. If God's leading him all this path of righteousness and looking after him, and then suddenly he talks about walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Man, I wouldn't have thought that been in there for the blessing of God. I thought that been out of there. But no, he comes and he's talking and building up high. He said, he established my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow, that I'm going to have to walk through that. If the Lord don't come back, I'm going to have to go through that. And he said, death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That's a similar thing. Rods and staff, generally correct. But he said, no, God's rod and staff, when it comes, leads up to comfort. It may look like something different when it's happening, but the result of the end will show that God was comforting me to lead me in a direction that he wanted me to go, even with his rod and staff. And then he says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Wow. I'd rather have a table prepared not in the presence of my enemies, hadn't you? When you have enemies, ladies and gentlemen, that's not a good piece to sit down and eat with. But he said, thou preparest a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Wonder why? Because God's sitting at the table with us. And we'll look at that in a few minutes. When we talk about this levels in life. And then he says, surely goodness and mercy. He said, at present of my enemy, thou anointest my head with oil, and my trumpet runneth over. And he said, with goodness and mercy, mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And then one more, Philippians chapter 1, to look at these levels of life. In Philippians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul begins, I'm going to read, I'd like to read verse 8 to later, but I want to start with verse 13. Paul is talking about where he's at. He's in prison now down in Rome. He's writing to the church at Philippi, and they're wondering him in prison. When people go to jail, even Christian and everybody else will sometimes wonder, what has he done? He must have done something terrible. People don't go to jail unless they do something terrible. Well, let me tell you something. Paul did something terrible. As far as the world, he only told people about Jesus Christ. So it really was a crime. But he was arrested for a crime. He must have done something. I mean, everybody goes to jail. You know, the government ain't all that bad, is it? It is when it comes to things of God. And God led the Apostle Paul through the Mediterranean Sea. You remember, as he went through and he ended up in a boat, and the people listened to him, and they went on shipwreck, but they didn't listen to this shipwreck. And he put him, the boat sunk, and he told them to stay in the boat. Nobody lost any lives or anything. The boat sunk. They ended on the island of Melite, I think you pronounce it. They were there. And somebody said, well, that wonderful thing. They landed on the island. They were saved. Listen, those people on that island needed Paul more so than Paul needed the island. Because a lot of folks got saved on that island before they left there. But now he's in Rome. He said, but I would ye should understand, brethren, talking to the church, not to the world, that the things which happened to me have fallen out rather to the furtherance of the gospel. He said, you don't know why God led me that path? Because he knew those people needed the gospel. You don't know why God did this? Because he knew that he'd have a representation there to talk to them about Christ. You know what I'm doing? I never got to Rome to talk to people in the palace and the jail had I not come by the way of the boat. I never got there. And here he is in prison now, writing the letter and preaching to people. He said, I never preached to these people in the palace had I not been in jail. He had come to a level of life, ladies and gentlemen, most of us never get there. And then he goes on and tells other things quickly, so that my bonds in Christ are manifested in the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren of the Lord wax in confidence for my bonds are much more bold to speak the word without fear. He said, people see me in Rome, been suffering like I'm suffering. There's people down in Palestine, other places here or that, and their confidence in God. God gives them boldness because he sees what God's doing for me. Why, even in prison. Then you see people watch us, folks. They know sometimes whether they see the reality or not. And then he says, and some indeed preach Christ even as envy and strive, and some of goodwill. They just do it out of envy and strive to try to get back. And then he goes on, he said, some indeed preach Christ. Then he said, the one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing of adding affliction to my body. Paul says, some people preach Christ. They're not sincere. They do it to utter, to quarrel, to strife, or dispute. Not sincerely, but then there's others who are sincere. He said, but the others love and knowing that I am set forth for the defense of the gospel. What then? A question. Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth. Where people preach in pretense, Christ, or in truth. I rejoice that Christ's name is even mentioned. In fact, pretense means whether they do it in the sense of pretending or false or showmanship, whatever, his name is preached. Right. Now, it's one thing if he's preached a wrong way, but he says, as long as his name is held before people, then that name can be explained who he is. And then he goes on and he says, that I therein rejoice, and yea, rejoice, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation. Well, he's already saved. What is he talking about? Go back to Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You remember that? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He goes back and he talks about that it's given to the Jew and to the Gentile. And therefore, he's saying that salvation, all this is given to the fact to present that type of salvation. And he's not ashamed of that. He's willing to suffer with that. And he said, according to my earnest expectation, he said, and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that all the boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by. He said, I just pray God not let me be ashamed, that I'd have the boldness to preach Christ, whether it be by life or whether it be by death. Where I live to preach it, where I die preaching it, I just don't want to be ashamed. What a wonderful thought. What? Thank you, Paul. He said, for to live is Christ, to die is gain. I want to speak to you this morning on what level of the Christian life are you? You look at the levels of men, physical life, but then what about the Christian life? There are different levels of life. It is interesting to hear what people say in life when they are moving forward to a point of something in their lives. You hear these sins all the time. Someone says, you know, your best is really ahead of you. Well, now, there's been time people said that, and what was ahead of me at that moment didn't look like my best. But with God, your best is ahead of you. Are you understand what I'm saying? I mean, when I'm hurting somewhere else, you know, I thank God that I know the best, but just because someone said it don't mean it. But when God says it and talks about your result now is going to be different when you see it later, then you'll understand that God means what he says about this thing of a new birth in his child. And then you heard the stand, you will graduate if you do not drop out of school. I reckon you will. Amen. But that's a statement that people talk. Oh, just keep going. You go to school, you'll soon graduate. Well, you don't want to graduate 15 years when you could in 10, right? I think about Brother Wilkins talking about he said he and his dad said that he was in the fourth grade, something like 7 or 8 years. I said, well, what happened? He said, I finally went to fifth grade. I said, well, why did they punch you? Did you get rid of me? He said, no, my dad and I couldn't get along in the fourth grade. Did he? I will never forget that. And but it was other statements that said, you made your bed, now lie in it. Boy, I heard that many times coming up. Watch out, you make your bed, you're going to lie in it. You see, the other one says something like, your strength is strength and glory to glory. Or mountaintops experience are good, but you grow in the valley. Now, I may not understand reason for valleys, but I can thank God for the result of a valley. I've lived long enough to know that. I've been in the valley a few times, and now I thank him for the valley, because I said from a spiritual standpoint, not from a physical, I don't like valley. But every valley I've gone through, God has shown later it helped me be a better child, a better Christian, a better pastor, and a better counselor. Because you experience things and see the reality of God's hands, no matter what others may say, you know God's real. God's real. He keeps his word. And he tells us about these things in life. So let's face it. Many times these are statements that ungrateful people showing the natural state of fallen man may say there are three steps or three levels of the Christian life. Let me give them to you quickly. The first one is simply this. It's got to be the start of the new life, which Jesus talked about in Matthew 11:28. And Moses, God gave Moses in Deuteronomy 8:7 when he talked about redeeming out of Egypt and going into the promised land. And that's been born in John chapter 3, verse 3 down about verse 7, into the family of God. Jesus said, ye must be born again. That's a fact. And I'll never let it become anything else in my life. That's when you look at people different, when you really understand. He didn't say, think about it. You might be. It'd be all if you are. He said, ye must be born again. And that's into the family of God. God's grace takes us like we are, or were we are saved, or like you are where you're at. But God's grace will not leave you where you were at. Do you understand that, folks? That means to say this, there's going to be some change in my life if I trust Christ as Savior as I grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. It takes grace to save me, and that grace won't leave me where I was at before I got saved. God gives me understanding. Once born into the family of God, we grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord. Jesus said, do that in 2 Peter chapter 3, 18. We are to be trained as children of God. We have to be trained, for instance, to be thankful. No child comes in the world saying, thank you. Most times, mine. Look at children play together. You watch that? We've watched in the daycare many times out here in those early years when we had, children just learning to walk and so forth. I mean, there's a lot of greed in lives when it comes to things in life. So we have to be trained to be thankful. We have to be trained to be have gratitude for something received. Gratitude does not come naturally. Why? Because we're born physically with depraved hearts. Isaiah teaches that. The Bible teaches us. The heart is depraved. It's wicked. In turn, it has to be changed. It has to be made new. And that's what the new birth does. It gives us an attitude towards things that's different. Kids have to be taught to say thank you. Gratitude is the mechanism that God has given us when we are connected to useful things in our life. If something comes to us that's given that's useful, it's automatically good to just say thank you for that. If someone helps me when I'm down, I can't think. That's gratitude, because something has been done usefully in life to say thank you for. And you have to, listen, you don't be born with that. You have to grow into that even from a childhood, because I guarantee none of us said thank you like we should when we were little children. We've been taught that in life. And so gratitude without substance will not produce an attitude into action. In other words, you can't have gratitude unless something's happened. You can have a grateful heart, but it won't be seen unless something happened. And so when something happens, there's gratitude for that. And thank God, our church does a lot of that for people in this neighborhood, in this town, for down through the years, and still does that. People give graciously when it comes to helping people in our area and in CAM and other places. And we thank God for that. So the attitude of gratitude is a way of thinking. At gratitude without action is like faith without works. We must not enter into a new direction in our lives with only ambition and no appreciation for success in that direction. This is like a child filled with greed and its mind this way. This is why God warned Israel in Deuteronomy 8, 7 through 17 about who gave them the wealth. You get in there. And you get and you think that you did it, but you didn't do it without me. Now, don't tell me, preacher. And God can say, I gave you life to breathe. I gave you life. I gave you air to breathe. I gave you lungs at work. By the way, if you see what God had, all of us probably been dead because Satan took us out a long time ago. I'll be honest with you. You think Satan's just playing around? If he could, he'd take every one of our life if God didn't give us a preserver and protection. And I thank God for that. To know he's there. He's promised us some things. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, his promises are great. When you and I got saved, the new birth was instant. Just like conception's instant for physical birth. And when you talk about forgiveness, forgiveness is instant when you confess it. God don't put us on the delay, pay so much you ask forgiveness. Now you got to do this for 3 months before you get it. It's not a time element of delay of forgiveness. Forgiveness, if it's asked under blood, is instant if you're born again. But on the other hand, freedom is not instant. Freedom is a process of growth. Freedom has to learn and apply to move to levels in life. Therefore, the freedom we have, how do I know what I'm free from unless I know what freedom does? Instance of being saved instantly, forgiveness is instantly, and it's under blood. But freedom is a process, and I have to learn that. You know, the most basic prayer for a child you teach, you don't try to get, now, son, set up, to a three-year-old, son, set up, won't you set up, won't you pray this, oh, thou wonderful heavenly Father, glorify thyself, omnipotent, omniscient. No. You generally teach this, thank God for the food, thank God for the toys. Thank God for Christmas. You might move up. Thank God for mother and dad. If you teach them to thank God for mother and dad, they say, thank God for mother and dad and grandpa and grandpa and granddad and granddad and great-granddad and the dog and the cats, and they go right on. But they're saying thank you because they're learning to say thank you. Boy, raising kids is a job, isn't it? Now think about it. So you can say, learn to say thank you and fill in the blank. Deuteronomy 8, verse 8 and 17, God is teaching Moses the basis for prayer. In Deuteronomy 5, 1, God told Israel to learn first through Moses. Go read it sometimes. He said, get in there. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to learn. I want you to keep what I learn, what you learn, and I want you to do what you learn. Not just learn, but keep it. Remember it. Rehearse it. Memorize it. Practice it. Then you'll be able to keep that, or to do that he gave them. That is what? Keep his statutes. Keep his judgments. Keep those things that God gives in instruction. The psalmist said in Psalm 107, verse 2, let the redeemer of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. God has been good to you and me, ladies and gentlemen. We ought to thank him. I'll be honest with you. I've said 100 times from this pulpit, you can think of every minute of the day of the rest of your life and never think of enough what he's done for you and I in salvation alone. And so it's good to thank him for what he's done for us. Thank him. This is shown when you thank him and mean it, it's shown by obedience. That's all there is to it. Thank you is not any good unless it's shown by obedience. So God told Israel, when you arrive in the good land, do not like you earned it or deserved it. I gave it to you. Do not forget that I provided for you. Today in our context, as we read that and what we're reading, when you arrive at the good land, do not like. He says in context, it's simply this. We did not always have what we have now. Did we? I didn't. We years ago, even we inherited some things we didn't have when we inherited what we have now. So I'm saying to you, God's been good to us. God is pleased. And when he sees that, we ask him to help us to be grateful for our provisions that he gives us. The second thing I want you to notice, the level is the Christian life is a maturing as a Christian. And that's what we see in Psalm. Turn that with me to Psalm 23. First thing, to be born again. And we see the example of that as you see Deuteronomy, I read to you, as Israel redeemed out of Egypt. And then the second thing is that we grow from a child to a mature Christian. And since we don't have anything like we do as a human life, you know, there's a fetus and there's an infant and there's a baby and an infant and a beginner. And you know, we can put those quads of places of kids, but in this, we know this, that we're born into the family of God, and there's a process from there to start away from the playpen spiritually and move materially, like Hebrews chapter 5 teaches us, in this thing of growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord. And so Psalm 23, verse 1 through 6 shows a little bit about that David. Here we learn from David's personal experience. He is able to appreciate the vision, provisions of God. Now see in these verses. Yet in verse 4, he said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff comfort me. I can never imagine my dad ever saying, son, I'm going to have to whip you, but I'm going to comfort you while I whip you. No, it stings. But God said, his rod and his staff comfort me. Why? In other words, it may not do what we think it's going to do at that time for the pain, but God says, son, you don't see the results. I do. You know, I noticed something that I hadn't thought of till recently. When I'm on this earth, I only see so far. You can only see so far. And you can only see what you see. You can't see what prompted everything else. But I noticed if you get in an airplane, break the law of gravitation, aerodynamics, as you go up, the higher you go, the more you can see. The only problem is the higher you go, the more you see, the littler they get. Can you imagine what God sees from heaven? And by the way, it doesn't get littler. He sees it as it is. And that's what God has said. The higher you move up in me through your word, the more you're going to see. You can't see it around a playpen. You're just learning the basics, spiritually speaking. But as you grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord, and I command you to do that, and as Peter gave his epistle, that you are to rise to a level so you see things greater as a mature Christian. And then, of course, the third one we'll see in just a few minutes. God brings us to a higher level of maturity when we process the ability to trust God. How? When I trust him through my pain, when I trust him through my uncertainty, when I trust him through my heartache, when I trust him in life with the problems that I have and move to the next level, I'm going to have something to know that God keeps his word. We're no longer immature towards God. We're beginning to move up into Christian maturity. It is one thing to trust God when things are going well. It's another thing to trust God when we're in a difficult, uncomfortable place in life. In verse 5 of Psalms 23, notice he said that thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. God is present at my table of fear. Not only is he in me in the age of grace, which David didn't have, not only am I in him, which David didn't have, though in God's sight, doing what he said do in the Levitical system, he had peace with God. But now I sit at the table, and I have these enemies around me. He says, I'll prepare a table before in the presence of you. You're not going to run from them. You're going to see them right in your presence. And then he names, they're not individuals, but he names what individuals do. Fear, insecurity, discouragement, despair. That's things in the book of, you see in Corinthians, Paul mentions them about. And loneliness. Here, sitting at that table, is the evil that comes from fear and insecurity, and a seat there for discouragement, a seat of despair, a seat of loneliness, a seat of people just in agony sometimes against something. What I'm saying to you, God said, if you're going to serve me, you're going to be at a table that I preserved for you in the presence of your enemies. You know what that does for you? It makes you pray for them. Because now I can sit at the table because God's Son is set at the table with me, not only in me. And I can focus not on the fear, the scourge of despair. I'm focused on the one who's promised to give me victory. In 1 John chapter 5. It's the Word of God, folks. It brings the difference in anything in our heart. Because we walk by faith. And I see something taking place. Here the Holy Spirit is helping me to trust Him. Just as much when His presence is concealed as it is when His presence is revealed. That means when it's revealed, He's going to be there. And because of that, if He sees some reason to conceal it while I'm in the valley or in trouble, in despair, there's a result coming that God says, when you get the result later, you're going to see why there. If I gave it to you here, you'd blow it. But when you get beyond that, you'll look back and say, man alive, look what God did. In the process of despair, you've been wondering where God's at. And then He gets you through that, and you look back and say, look what God did. God says, I'll get the glory, and you'll get the benefit. That's Bible, folks. That's the level. Some people never get away from the playpen, spiritually speaking. On milk. Choke on the Word of God. And sometimes try to choke everybody else. What I'm saying to you, it amazes me what happens when we begin to grow. His name is Jesus Christ, who is the head of the table. May God help me to maintain my fix on the one who is at the head of my table, even during the darkest periods of my life, whether it be uncertainty or pain or heartache, whether it be insecurity, fear, discouragement, despair, loneliness. God is setting the table for me, and I can focus on Him, David says in Psalm 23, and know for a fact He's going to deliver me. And so what are you? His name is Jesus, the Son of the living God. So Paul shows the highest level, step of level of the Christian life. We are struggling with some things. Also, to be forgiven doesn't mean that it didn't happen. Did you know that? For us to be forgiven of anything doesn't mean it didn't happen. It means it did happen, and God forgave you, and you don't have to worry about it no more. The blood will wash away every sin that's committed, if you mean business, not play with God. The third level again, we have the level of the new birth, we have the level of the mature Christian. God is with me, even in the presence of my enemies. And then the highest level is this, and give it to you quickly in the next 4 or 5 minutes. Philippians 1 is where we see that. Turn there just a moment. Philippians chapter 1. And we look down about verse 15 where Paul is talking. I can't read all this now for sake of time, but first chapter 1, verse 15 down through about verse 25. Here is where Paul has always warned, has always wanted Christ to be exalted in his body, whether it's life or death. And while Paul is in chains of Rome, he writes a letter to Philippi. Philippi is a city of eastern Macedonia established by Philip II in 356 B.C. And in the 4th century, it was abandoned after the Ottoman conquest. And Paul said this, I know how to trust God, even when God is stirring the pot. I mentioned this a few weeks ago. In my life, at this precise time, my life has been stirred, so my life as a pot's been stirred. And I know this, at this precise time, as God stirs the pot, Romans 8:28, the choice material to go in that heart. All things work together for them who love God and call to His purpose. That is all things that God does. Sometimes when we do something out of hand, we may have suffering, then God will make that work out. But things at the moment work when God allows it. When we allow something, we may have to go through something for Him to work it out later. And this helped me grasp some tremendous things in life. I look at this, and I told you about talking to you about my wife recently. I may not like the ingredients sometimes she puts in things. I told you a few weeks ago, have you ever tried to eat something by itself? It's not good at all. But when you put these things together, they go into what she may be cooking. I learned to trust her even while she's stirring the pot. Why? Because I know she knows what she's doing. And I know when it comes out of the oven, it's going to be good. And God is saying, hey, I may have you stir the pot, but when it comes out in the end, it's going to be for your benefit. How in the world can that happen? That's exactly what we all ask. How can that happen? I've suffered some mighty strong things, and yet I've found out that everything that I've suffered that he showed me now, and he's promised to show me at the end if I can't see it now, and he's promised that to get us on the other side. That's reason I know the fact if you're saved, you're going to heaven. God made a lot of promise to us, and he keeps his promise, and you're reading, you read with an item in John 17, you're going to find it, the Father and Christ in talking to each other. You see that they lock it in by what they say, and what a wonderful thing to see. And so I hear. I've learned to trust her. I can trust her that it's going to turn out good, even while stirring the pot, not just when it comes out of the oven placed on the table. I can trust God also in my pain, in my heartache, in my uncertainty, in my fear, in my security, in discouragement, in despair, in loneliness. I can trust God. Now, these three levels of the Christian life, the first start is being born again. That's new birth. The second is maturing in Christ like as a child of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 11, the Apostle Paul made this statement, and make sure you help us understand what we're talking about. Paul said, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, and stood as a child, thought as a child, but when I became a man, I became a child, put away childish things. Then he said, now we look through a glass. What he was saying, that to understand physically, every one of us did that. And now what we're seeing, God said, there's a time you're a child of God, but you need to get to the point that you get off the milk on the word so you can be a blessing to others to help them if they need it, and they can help you if you need it, because you're growing together in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. Once you arrive at the third level of trust, you can triumph in the midst of difficulties in life through Jesus Christ. And I pray that may this morning, may God help us get off the milk of God's Word and grow spiritually, partaking of the meat of God's Word, Hebrews 5:11 through 14, I read. Philippians 1:19, Paul said that he knew that through the prayers of the saints of God and the help of Jesus Christ would keep him safe because he's God's child. What used to hold me, and I got this, and I pray God, you can claim this for yourself. Paul is saying, what used to hold me does not hold me today because of Jesus Christ. And I can say the same thing, and you can too if you're saved. What used to hold you and I before we were saved can't hold us today. Why? Not because of us, because of Jesus Christ. He's more powerful than Satan. He's more powerful than we are. And all he asks is obedience to his word to know what it means first. You have to know what the word is and try your best to obey it. And he helps us there. Many times we all blow it, but many times we get it right too. And so I ask the question again. If you're having difficulties in times of despair, submit yourself to the power of God. And while trusting him, give him praise at the same time while your pot in life has been stirred. And I ask the question, what level of Christian life are you living? You say, well, you know, when you read what he said to Israel, he's talking to the Jews. Yeah, he was. But may I remind you, in the same form as different words, when he talked about what God said to Israel, James said to us about doing. You mean what God said in 5:1? Learn. What was the next key? And do. Deuteronomy 5:1, Tell Israel to learn, keep, and do. Someone said, that's Old Testament, preacher. It's not New Testament. Okay, go to James. You'll find James is even stronger than that. James in the New Testament, in James chapter 1 and verse 21 down through a few verses there, 22 it is, he said, you know it by heart. Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only. Deceiving your own self. Person, James said, hey, you want to know what it is? In the New Testament, God has sent you the Holy Spirit now that you are to be doers of the word, not hearers only, because if you're a hearer, not a doer, you're deceiving your own self. And I pray, God, help me see that I may not deceive myself. Help me understand. He said, for if any be an hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man that looketh into an asher, and he knoweth by heart, for he beholdeth himself, goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. In other words, if this is a mere look and you just see that and don't become a doer, then you forget who you are. And that's what God tells us not to. Don't ever forget where I brought you from. Today, what level of the Christian life are you living? Stand to your feet. Father, I've examined myself, Lord, many times in the last few weeks studying this message. Earlier this morning, the same thing. Dear Father, I pray. If my message no one even listens to, I thank you for you to study it. Because I believe now I'm seeing things in my life in the past. Death doors, 92, almost died. And I don't know, when I came to that door, looking, thinking it was it, wondering who's going to open it. And I was waiting for the door to open when I came to in the emergency room or in the recovery room. And all of a sudden, saw what was going on. I don't understand a lot of things, but I thank you, Lord, that everything we go through helps us mature. I'm so glad a real child of God will run to you when things come because you're only help. As I pray many times in the hospitals, Lord, we use the medicine you give us. We use doctors. We use technology. We use all these things because I believe with all my heart, Lord, everything that you've ever given man to find, it was to help your people in an evil world, and the world itself was blessed by it. I believe that because you said it rains on the just and the unjust. So you give us things today that's miracle-working drugs that helps us live longer in life. But it doesn't do away with death itself. Because that's appointment. So from the time that we're conceived and born to the time we die physically, help us grow maximum. And then from the time we're saved to the time God calls us through the exodus of death or home through the rapture, help us grow in spirit, in grace and knowledge of the Lord. Lord, we need that growth in these days, because if not, Satan can snatch away anything that's not grounded. Please help us understand who Jesus is. Help us exalt him high, not only in our heart, but in the world, so the world can see. May they understand that he is the only way, only truth, only life that one can have to be in the family of God. I pray again this morning that he's been exalted, Holy Spirit, because that's, he said, is your job to do through humanity. And then, Father, I pray you've been pleased because you said, this is my only begotten Son. This is my only begotten Son to whom I'm well pleased. I pray today this physical body has exalted him. Holy Spirit, may you've had a water right away, and I pray some people will receive it and not rebel against it. And say, Lord, I don't know if there's more than three, but these three are important. I'm glad I am born again. If not, they can be. I'm glad I have matured, Lord. Thank you for that. And also glad to know that the next thing is that arrow of life, getting us ready, complete, go to heaven with you. Help someone see that today. And all the hustle and bustle and resistance we may have in our hearts because we don't know. May we yield to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.